Each and every one tonight, and I do give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And I really feel strongly the night and what the Lord's given me to bring the night, and I feel God has shown me something for us as a church, but it's not something what you can click your fingers and it'll happen. I don't know how rightly to explain it. I believe that there's a vein God wants us to go in what'll change things. And that vein's prayer. And it's intercessory prayer. And I heard a great man of God, and he made a tremendous statement. Said an intercessory prayer involves three people. It involves the person that's praying, and it involves God, obviously, and then it involves the person you're praying for. And this man was asked a question. He was a pastor of a church. He was mightily used of God, this man. And a woman said to him, she said, "You know, pastor, my brother's not saved and he lives in a certain town that's not near here. But if you only could get over there, you could witness to him and you could do it." And he said to her, "Sister, but I'm not near there. But I have a far better suggestion than that one. How's about sending Jesus over?" And she thought for a moment he was being flippant or, you know, but he was serious. And he explained to her that she needed to pray for her brother. And that is a way of witnessing. Because the Bible says we are kings and priests. We are priests. Jesus is a priest. Now there's no priest that just prays for himself, but a priest always prays for others. And we're part of that ministry, kings and priests. How many believes that unto God? Now I'm not talking about the priests around the corner. I'm talking about the real Bible priests. We're kings and priests unto God. And God wants us to be praying for others. You could go out and have a meeting and nobody would get saved, but you can pick somebody and pray for them. And then God works on them in a scriptural. And I believe that God wants us to go more in that vein. I can't really explain it, what I believe has come to me. Maybe the Lord will bring it out through the next services. But let us turn to Luke's Gospel tonight, chapter 18. And so that I don't forget, Sunday morning, 10:45, we're meeting. And for silence, for the remembrance. And the children will be downstairs in the Sunday school just as normal while we have the silence. But let's come in at 10:45. And also I've been talking to Brother Andrew Beecham, And our brother Andrew's going to try and come for the first weekend, December, if he can. He's doing Samuel Fields' funeral, but you know how in England it's not like here. They don't bury people straight away. You know, it can take a bit of time. So he's not sure when that funeral will be, but he's been asked to take the funeral. Let's read just one verse tonight. Luke 18, verse 27, one verse. For way of attacks tonight. And he said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you tonight that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. We thank you that redemption has been fully paid. And Lord, that you have said it is finished. And you've paid the ultimate price. Lord, we do come from thy footstool into thy throne room and into thy presence tonight by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. And we thank you that this is a privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can come boldly because of the new and living way through the rent veil. And we come pleading the merits of the blood of the Lamb, and we say amen to all that's been prayed. We rebuke every enemy, every demonic force, we rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask for the power of the Holy Ghost to come in our service tonight and to come upon our lives. We ask that that life of Christ that we know is in us manifest through us and upon us tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bind every work of the devil. Bring his goods to naught, Lord, in every life and every home. In the name of Jesus. We ask for all of our children, all of our sons, our daughters, all that's near and dear to each and every one of us tonight. We plead the precious blood of the Lamb upon them tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless your word till our hearts. We know this is the absolute right here. This is the authority. This is your word. You said your words are spirit and their life. Lord, we receive that life tonight from your word in the name of Jesus. I speak life in Jesus' name. I rebuke death in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. I speak over every person in this room tonight. Health and strength to the navel. In the name of Jesus. We pray for Brother Edris tonight that you'll go and that you'll speak to him, Lord. Amen. That you'll speak to them. Yes. That you'll visit him. Mm-hmm. That you'll talk with him. That you'll deal with him. Lord, that you'll bring him back to the house of the Lord and deliver him from every fear of the enemy. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Lord, I ask for all your believers tonight that never come out tonight. I pray that you'll speak to them. I pray that you'll move upon them. I pray the Holy Ghost will work with each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Lord, bless all that's here tonight. Ask for those at home that need a touch of healing. May you heal them. May you deliver them. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch your sister Carol's eyes tonight. Heal her, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we know you're a healer. We know you're a deliverer. And we know you're never changed. Now, Lord, I take by faith the promised Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, you undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I want to take for the text tonight from this verse and this scripture is about the rich young ruler. And you know the whole story of the rich young ruler. I'm not preaching about the rich young ruler really tonight. But this is the background of this verse we've read from verse 27. And he thinks it's difficult to get saved because of what the Lord's told him. Go and sell all you have. And you know he says, who then can be saved? And Jesus refers to the eye of a needle, the rich man. And you know the eye of a needle is actually the door, the gate in Jerusalem is open just enough that a man could slip through And that's what's known as the eye of the needle. That's what it actually means. That a camel couldn't go through, but a man could slip through what was known as the eye of a needle. And the Lord said, that's how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's as hard as it is to get through the eye of a needle. And here then this man says to the Lord, who then can be saved? And Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I want to take a text from that tonight. And the title tonight is The Unlimited God. Yeah. And God is not limited. God is not limited. And I want to say some things about that tonight. That our God is not limited. The statement Jesus made gives hope. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. It gives you hope. To the seemingly hopeless, it gives hope. And Jesus gives hope to the seemingly hopeless. When there seems to be no hope, Jesus gives hope because we're working with an unlimited God. Whenever we face an impossibility with man or in our life, that's when we must look to the unlimited God. And the Lord does not want you to look anywhere else tonight. You know, when the children of Israel looked at the giants, they never went in. But Joshua and Caleb looked to God, and they said, we're more than able to do it. God wants you to look upon Him. You know what Peter said? Look on us. When they prayed for the man to be healed. Look on us. And the Lord wants us to look on Him tonight, for He is the unlimited God. Let me read you this from a message called The Power of God. What is it? The power of God, hallelujah. God rules in nature. Who hangs out the stars at night? What science could do it? Who sets the sun in the evening and rises it up in the morning? Who holds the world in its orbits? The power of God. Who holds your soul in His? The power of God, hallelujah. The power of Satan is limited, but the power of God is unlimited. What did you get that? The power of Satan is limited, but the power of God is unlimited. When you read some of the messages that Brother Branham preaches and some of the sermons, when he gets into these sayings and these things, he says, let us not stop at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you say, let us not stop. That's what he says. He says, let us go on further with God. He said, we should be raising the dead and healing the sick and opening the blinded eyes by this stage. Does that not sound familiar to what Paul preached? Paul says, not laying again the foundation from dead works. But let us go on to perfection. That's what Paul preaches about. And I tell you that God is unlimited. And when the Lord gives you the Holy Spirit, it's not just that you get the Holy Spirit and you rejoice in it, and you praise God in it, and you feel good in it. That's wonderful. But it's to do something. It's to move you on with God to reach others. It's to move you on with God to help others. Because you're the Lord's hands. You're the Lord's feet. The Lord wants you to pray intercessory prayers for people. And I really feel strongly tonight. You know, when God has used someone in prayer, the devil will do everything he can to discourage you. He'll send you a test. He'll do something to discourage you. And the reason that that happens is that the devil does not want you to pray. He doesn't want you to pray. That's the thing he wants stopped, is prayer. And if he gets prayer stopped, the mission's over there. There's no mission where there's no prayer. Everywhere you read of a move of God, you read of people that pray. I read of a great man of God, and he was voted in to be a pastor in a certain place. And they said to him, what are you going to do? And he says, we're going to start by intercessory prayer. And he was only a young man, only in his early 20s, very young for a pastor. And he began to have intercessory prayer, and he took it so far that they had 7 days a week intercessory prayer, and people prayed for so long, and then others praying, and they had such prayer, and the church doubled in a short time. And he said the greatest form of evangelism is not getting an evangelist and doing meetings. Prayer is. Because you can pick someone and pray for them and send the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Yes. And I tell you, all of us can do that. Every brother and every sister can pray for someone. I believe that tonight. But this power of God's unlimited. We know today, great leaders today boast that there's no God. Church leaders say God doesn't heal today. Men and women need God in the dark hour, the hard times of the impossibilities. That's when we need the power and the presence and the strength of God. That's when we need the unlimited God. We need the unlimited God in the hard times. We need the unlimited God. We don't need somebody to tell us that God doesn't do it no more. We don't need somebody to tell us that God doesn't heal no more. We don't need somebody to tell us we don't need the gifts of the Spirit no more. We don't need somebody to tell us that we don't need the presence of the Lord in our meetings no more. We don't need anybody to tell us that. But we need to know that God is Hebrews 13:8. He's the same. Amen. Yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. If God was pleased with people praising Him in another day, He's pleased with it today. If God used tongues in another day, He can use them today. If God used prophecy in another day, He can use them today. Whatever God used in another day, He can use them today, because my Bible says He's unchanged. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. You're working with someone that's never changed. It never rusts. It never grows old. It never runs out of fuel. It never becomes empty. You can never use its source or its power or its availability. God is unlimited. This is an unlimited source. This is an unlimited supply. The unlimited God. Unlimited in power. Unlimited in ability. Omnipresent. Everything. God's all of it. And every attribute was in Him. Way before we ever came on the scene, ever before we were born, ever before man was even in the Garden of Eden, there was attributes in God for healing. There was attributes in God for salvation. There was attributes in God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Every attribute was in God, and it all came out in the person of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross. He gave His life that we could have life. And Paul said in Romans of the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will also quicken your mortal body. The Holy Spirit can quicken you tonight. The Holy Spirit means, that word quicken means made alive. Made alive. I believe that God wants us as preachers, that God wants us as His people. I believe this is what the higher calling is, if you want to call it that, but this is what I believe, this is what I'm saying, this is what I believe is coming at the end time, and it's been here before. I believe that when God's servants will fall under such an inspiration of preaching the Word of God, that it will actually be like it was in the book of Acts, where Peter yet speak these words, the Holy Ghost come on them that heard it. Now there's two things need to happen there. The Holy Spirit needs to be in the preacher, but the people need to be hearing. When we come to church, we need to be hearing the Word of God. The devil will try to have your mind somewhere you were today, somewhere you're going tomorrow, or something this, something there. But God wants you focused. God wants your thinking and your thoughts upon Him, on the unlimited God, totally dependent upon Him. Abraham was not staggered by the things that he saw. He staggered not, the Bible says, at the promise of God, but he was strong in faith. He believed God in the midst of an impossibility, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of something that couldn't take place. Now remember, Sarah couldn't even have children. And Abraham believed God. And you know Isaac was born. Our God's able. Our God's able. You know the Bible says He's able to take of these stones and raise up people that will worship Him. Amen? That's what our God's able to do. The unlimited God. God wants, God's Word cannot fail. I want you to know this tonight, that God's Word cannot fail, because the book of Hebrews tells us He could swear by no greater. So He swore by Himself. that by two immutable things it is impossible for God to lie. He cannot fail. God cannot fail. And His word can't fail. It's yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So when we seek God with all of our hearts, we will find the unlimited God. When we seek God with all of our hearts, we'll find Him. You know, it's God's will that we pray for the unsaved. A man said once, we don't need to pray for the unsaved. He doesn't know his Bible. No. Paul said, my constant prayer is that Israel would be saved. No. Jesus says, I thank you, Father. I pray for those that thou hast given me out of the world. The Lord wants us to pray for those that's unsaved tonight. He wants us, I believe that. Yes, you see, if you don't believe in praying for the unsaved, I have a doubt if you're saved yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you know why? Because Jesus, the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. The Lord says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. And if we have His Spirit, we should have that desire to see others saved. The most important thing is to see people saved. That's the most important thing. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And what's it say about Abraham? Think of it now. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now you know how it started with Abraham. I preached on it here one time before, where Abraham prayed and God rewarded him. Not only did God reward Abraham, but God appeared to him. God appeared to Abraham in the form of Melchizedek. And you know, Brother Branham said God took Himself a bit of clay and made a body and stepped in it. And He came and stood with Abraham. You know that? That's the Bible. The king of Salem, having no father, having no mother, no ascent, no descent, God Almighty. And He comes to Abraham. And what's He said to Abraham? He says to Abraham, I am thy exceeding shield. That means His protector. He doesn't stop there. Then He says, I am thy great reward. I'm that sitting shield and thy great reward. That's what God said to Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to protect you, then I'm going to reward you. And you know what else He said to him? Here it is. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Amen. And one time I was reading for Brother Branham saying, if God asks for perfection, He has to make a way for it. And He says He did through Christ on the cross. Our perfection's through Christ on the cross. It's not what we do, it's what He done for us, and we believe it. Diligently seek God. God wants us to intercede. God wants us to take time and pray. God wants us to intercede. God wants us to spend time before Him. God wants us to pick out people and begin to pray for them like we never prayed for them before. When God started to show me these things, and I believe it is the Lord showing me, I'm standing at the devil. And I went back in a time in my own life when I first got saved, and I used to spend hours praying and seeking God and picking out people in my family and loved ones, and people began to get saved and people began to come. But many times we get so busy, we lost that prayer time. We lost that secret time of prayer. God wants us as a people to have the secret time. God wants us as a people to have the intercessory time. And anything else that holds it up, set it this side. Take time for God. Intercessory is a secret of the power of God. For the preaching, for the anointing, for everything. It's a secret for to see people saved. Mark 9 and 23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. When Jesus was here on earth, He was a healer. Jesus didn't have to try to be a healer. He was a healer. We don't have to try to make Jesus a healer tonight. He still is a healer. I want you to get that. You don't have to try and make Him something. He already is it. He's never changed. Whatever the Lord was 2,000 years ago, He still is tonight. He was a Savior. He was a healer. He was a baptizer of the Holy Ghost. Didn't John say, there's one coming after me, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose? He says, I baptize you with water on repentance, but He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We need the fire of God. Amen? We need the fire of God. You know the fire of God burns the dross. That's what fire is for. Fire is a purifier. Fire burns the dross. And God's maybe been burning some of us. Now I'm talking about myself. God, you can get wee things. God just has to burn them back out. Amen. I believe that tonight. And I believe God doesn't want us just to get into some rhythm or some ritual. Even in a brother prayer, but God wants us to be sincere. God wants us to be sincere. God wants us to be intercessors. With God, all things are possible. He's unlimited. Unlimited. Not only did Jesus do that, you could go through that. I'm not going to take the time tonight, but you know, you could go through the miracles of Jesus. I've preached them here before. You could go through all the miracles of Jesus. Then you could come up to the book of Acts. And you could see the miracles Jesus did through the apostles. I tell you, God's real tonight. Let me read you this from Believest Thou This. My grandfather rode an ox cart. I'm driving a Ford V8. My son will fly a jet plane. That's what we're moving on. That's what religion ought to be. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The church ought to be moving on into the powers. Science can only climb so far, and then it has to drop off. But we've got unstopped sources, untapped sources, that's never been touched, of the power, unlimited, of God, that we ought to be moving into. We're living a million miles under our privileges tonight. Our privileges as Christians to be enjoying. I feel ashamed of myself when I look out here and see the institutions and the sickness and the troubles that's going on right now. Our church ought to be walking the street, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, doing signs, wonders, making the whole world realize that Jesus Christ lives. That's what we need to be doing. But what's happened? There's plenty of people meeting, but they're meeting to talk about doctrines. They've been well there. I'm telling you. The movement's been well there. But God will have a people. And we can't go out on the street and do these things until there's unity amongst the believers, number one. And then number two, there has to be the people of God that's on fire of God, that wants to come to the house of God. That they're not satisfied with a few services a month, but they want to be at every service. They want to have a desire. They want to have a hunger for God. Just like when you're in the world. You know, one night wasn't enough, but you have the midweek. It's on the night. The coach is a midweek top-up. I hate that place. I tell you, I prayed years ago, and God gave it some problems. I'll get started again. The circus used to be going, and we prayed for it, and God closed it. And I'll tell you, one night I seen a young girl coming out of it. And I tell you, when I saw her coming out of it, I knew her. And I prayed like I never prayed before, and God closed it. Now I know there was more than me praying, but God done it anyhow. Amen. God can do it. But I tell you, these things won't happen. What the prophet of God said should be happening. While people are going about preaching, can you see it my way? And if you can't see it my way, you'll not be in the rapture. Did you hear brother so-and-so's new revelation? If you don't see it, you'll not be in the rapture. All that's finished with now. I'm telling you. God wants Jesus Christ to be preached.
Amen. Yes.
Jesus Christ is the weaved sheep that must be weaved over the people.
Amen.
Christ is what needs to be preached. The unlimited God. Unchangeable. Unlimited. Why is God so unique? God is able to do what He said He would do. You're able to do what God said you can do. God is what He says He is. What does God say he is. He says, I am that I am. That's what God says he is. That's the one that went down and delivered the people out of the Egyptian bondage. Is he not still alive tonight? That's the God that furnished the table in the wilderness. That's the God that brought them through the Red Sea. That's the God that the clothes never waxed old for 40 years. That's the God that when they cried, he fed them fresh manna from heaven. And they weren't even allowed to eat it if it lay a day extra. He gave them it fresh every day. And then on the Sabbath, they weren't allowed to gather. He gave them a double portion on the day before. So to preserve the Sabbath. And remember, before the captain it was rotten. But this time it wasn't, because God preserved it. He's the preserver of life. He's the giver of life. God wants us to be in unity. God wants us to be a people with the desire to pray, with a people with the desire to see souls saved. Our focus must be Jesus Christ. Our focus must be to reach people for Jesus Christ. But many of God's people, they're not ready. They're not keen enough. They're not interested in the house of God. Some of them rather watch the program. Some have any excuse and they're off to something else instead of the house of God. They ridicule the pastor, they ridicule the deacon, they ridicule the elders. It's everybody's fault. But the real issue is that we need to get in love with Jesus. Every one of us. And we need to pray like we have never prayed before. Praise God. And I believe these things can happen. There's parts of the world. You know, people can paint you a picture that God's doing absolutely nothing. Don't you ever believe that. There's parts of the world tonight for God's moving. There's parts of the world tonight for revivals breaking loose. And parts of the world tonight God's moving. I'm telling you. And God's doing things. We're just a small corner of the vineyard. Maybe we'd like to see it different. But we'll never see it different. Ridiculing about it. We need to pray about it. We need to talk to the Lord about it. We need to reach the throne of grace. Bold prayers. Intercessory prayers. Or bold prayers. Do you believe it? Now we know every prayer answered is a miracle. How many believes that? Because we cannot answer our own prayers. God has to answer them. We can't answer our own prayers. He can't do it. God has to do it. Everyone sees a miracle. Everyone heals a miracle. It's all a miracle. Salvation's about the greatest miracle there is. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. I tell you, people, you know, say, how many's coming? Can you get somebody to church? If the Christians can't come, the unsaved's not much chance of coming. I'm telling you, God wants us not to be slack. We say we believe the coming of the Lord. Look at the things God's sent. Look at the things God's done. Look over the world tonight. There's groups of people and they say we're the elect of God. We're the bride. And they can't shake hands with a brother over the road. Something's wrong. It's not in this book. It's not in the power of God. But the problem is, God's power is the same. God's power is unlimited. If God's people will do what God says, God will visit them. If God's people come the way God says, God will bless them. There's no limit to God tonight. When we come the way God says, God will do it. Do you believe that? Yes. I believe with all my heart.
Yes.
You think of it, even if you spend just a few minutes praying and seeking the Lord, don't you feel better for it? I tell you, it'll do you good. Because it's a scripture. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. The devil wants you to stop praying. He'll do whatever he can. I know what I'm preaching about. Sometimes someone can come to hurt you. And my father used to say this, and I didn't know what he's talking about, but I know the day what he's talking about. It can turn you one way or the other. Sometimes if you get hurt as a Christian, or you get offended, deeply offended, or something happens, you can go one way or the other. It could put you right back into the world, or it could throw you right into the arms of Jesus. And the best thing to do, listen to me tonight, the best thing to do no matter what happens is to just throw yourself to the Lord. And He'll not let you down. He's standing with His arms open. And He's the comforter of the night. Job gave God the praise. Job gave God the praise. He lost everything. We can't even begin to consider Job was almost dead himself. Sat in the ash heap with boils all over his body, almost dead. And God gave the devil permission to do it. But He said, spare his life. He only could go as far as God permitted. And the Bible says God can't be tempted. And God will not suffer you to be tempted above what you can stand. Throw yourself on the Lord tonight. Under the arms of Jesus. If God can't do it, He wouldn't be God. I'm telling you tonight, if God can't do it, He's not God. But He is God. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He sent His word and He healed them. He sent His word. Thank God He sent His word. You know that word was Jesus. But that still can be a word tonight. God can still send a word tonight. Whether it's through the preaching or prophecy. But God can send a word. And it'll bring deliverance because He's never changed. It's the power of God's words. I wrote down here in my notes tonight, read some of John 5. But before I do it, I want to read Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Want you to really get this verse. Now let me read you this, what I wrote here. Now we know every prayer answered is a miracle because God, we cannot answer our own prayers. Everyone saves a miracle. Only God can save. And if God can't do it, He wouldn't be God. But praise God, He can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. Because He's unlimited God. But the power's in us, it says. Look what it says. According to the power that worketh in us. You say the worketh in us, that's the Holy Ghost. Just like Romans chapter 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed. Because the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts. By the Holy Ghost, shed abroad in their hearts. We have hope. We have a hope. Steadfast hope. Why? Because it's anchored with that within the veil. You know what that means? When you read within the veil, that means the place that Jesus went beyond. That no man could go beyond that veil. Or he would drop dead. Only a high priest chosen, spicely dressed, once a year could go. But Jesus went once for all beyond the veil. And the way is made for every one of us to go beyond the veil tonight. And there's something in us that's the Holy Spirit. For the Bible says the Spirit shall be in you as a well in your belly. The Holy Spirit in you. Like a well springing up inside you. The Holy Spirit. That's the power of God.
Yes.
That's the power of God. And I know some people say we don't go for emotion. That's good. I know that. It's not that. But I'll tell you one thing. You will feel it. When the Spirit of God moves in you, you'll know it. Amen. It's like an old preacher said. He said, I know it's not sensation, but it sure feels good. Amen. It's not the truth. Let me read this just a little bit from John's Gospel. John chapter 5, and I'm gonna have to close. The time's flying. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Let us read in verse 1 of John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 13 and 8 years. which Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming down, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was a Sabbath. Now you can read the story on, you'll know that they wanted to beat Jesus and do all sorts of bad stuff. But I want you to get this tonight. And the Lord showed me this one time. This man had missed a season. You hear people preaching, we're in the season for certain things to happen. Many of you ever heard a preacher? I preach it myself. We're in the season of the coming of the Lord, which all them things are true. But this man missed the season. He missed the season of the coming of this angel to trouble the water. But Jesus still done something for him. Even though he missed the season, Jesus still healed him. And many times the devil wants to tell people, you've missed the season of opportunity. You've missed your healing. You've missed your opportunity. This man here had missed the season, but the Lord still touched him. Every time the season came, every time the season went, he couldn't get up quick enough to get in the water. He missed his opportunity. But Jesus came to him. Jesus came, but I want you to hold that thought. The Lord came to them. Now remember when Smith Wigglesworth's preaching, you heard the wee woman's testimony we watched here one night. And that woman said, Wiggles, she was suicidal and everything, she's going to jump out a window. And she came in the window of the church and she landed right at the front. And there she was at the front while Wigglesworth preached. Wigglesworth said, Jesus is standing right beside that little woman now. Right beside her. The Lord came to her. The Lord came to her. And the Lord can come to you. I believe that with all my heart. The Lord can come to you. And the Lord can visit you. And don't ever think you've missed a season. God can do it. It's Hebrews 13:8. I'm going to read this last statement and then I'm going to close. Greater than Solomon is here. But the church is always looking back. Let's look up. For there's power unlimited. For their powers are limited. And we have unlimited power. So God doesn't want us to keep looking back, but look up. For all things are possible to them that believe in God. Real genuine faith will punctuate every word that God gives. And amen it. Not well it was for another generation. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. God's the same. When somebody says, we can't have a revival today, that's the time God could send one. I'm telling you. That's the time God could do it. When people say it can't be done, God can do it. Because with God, nothing's impossible. I want us really to pray tonight. You're here tonight, you believe God in this meeting. You believe God for God to touch you. Believe God to answer you. Intercede for God. You feel the prayer. I want you to pray boldly. You pray tonight. Don't let the devil stop you. I want you to pray. God hears prayer. God answers prayer. Prayer changes things. Let's bow our heads this evening. If you would need, just lift your hand up to the Lord while we're praying. Praise God. Heavenly Father, you see every hand that's raised in this room tonight. Lord, we preached about the unlimited God. Lord, I just felt led to say this tonight. Lord, I know it's your word that what is impossible with man is possible with God. Lord, I'm asking you for every need there is tonight in this room, that you'll meet every need. In and through the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll meet every need. Lord, that every power of darkness would be broken, that the Holy Spirit would be loosed and free to move upon your people tonight. Lord, you sent your word and you healed them and you delivered them. Lord, you're a healer. You've healed me. You've healed others. You are a healer. Your word says it. You've done it. I believe it. Heal others tonight that need a healing in this house this evening. Lord, I pray you'll touch my sister from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Let the power of the Holy Ghost come over her. Let the quickening power that raised Christ from the dead come upon her. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, touch that brother as well. In Jesus' name, touch that back. Touch that leg. Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, Father, have your way in this meeting tonight. We're asking that you'll help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be. We don't want to be what somebody else wants. We want to be the people that you want us to be, Lord. Your children, your people, Lord. Lord, we need you to move in our meetings. We need you to come down in the power of the Holy Ghost. We need you to pray through people. We need you to manifest the gifts of Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, right in the midst, Lord Jesus. We're asking you to come and you'll do signs. You'll come and do wonders. You'll come and do miracles in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Lord, most of all, that you'll save souls. Lord, that you'll set people free. Deliver our sons. Deliver our daughters. Deliver all that's near and dear to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray tonight. Lord, I plead the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ over every person in this room tonight, over this building tonight, over our homes tonight, over all that belongs to us. I plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, I know you're not dead. I know you're alive and well. I know you're the same. Lord, I know, Lord, for man will take faith in God. Lord, John Wesley said, even the dead could be raised. Lord, I believe what John Wesley said. Lord, forgive us for unbelief tonight. Forgive us, Lord, for our own ways, our own thinking, our own thoughts. Fill us with your thoughts. Fill us with your ways. Rid us of all our own things, our own ideas that hinders us from the moving of your Spirit, O God. Move us tonight, Lord, closer to you. Come amongst us. Walk amongst us tonight. Let your people feel your presence coming all over their bodies. Let your people feel your presence coming right down through them and up over them. In the name of Jesus, I pray the power of the Holy Ghost coming in this meeting tonight, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Father, I pray again for that young boy, Darren, 32 years old, given up to die. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll spur him. Lord, I pray you'll touch him tonight. Lord, you can give him a miracle, for you're a miracle worker. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them tonight. Plead the power of the blood over his life, over his soul. In the name of Jesus tonight, I rebuke the devil over that life. I rebuke the cancer. I rebuke the disease in the Jesus name. And I ask for the power of God to come upon him. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, touch your people in this room tonight. Lord, meet with us afresh this evening. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's continue just to seek God tonight. Praise God.